This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and speak through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. Not used to this. I thought it might be appropriate to sit on a guitar stool or a bass stool, as it may be, because I'd like to tell you a story, tell you an excerpt from an autobiography that I just finished of Eric Clapton. I don't know if any of you have read it or not, but it's a really wonderful story. Eric has had, as many of you may know, a really, really long addiction life. And he was addicted to heroin, and then went into recovery and got clean, quote unquote, but had never done any of the inner work. So he was a dry addict, as they say. And then, finally, he realized that he wanted to be more present to his child, Connor, his little boy, and decided that he needed to go back in, because after he came out, he didn't go back to heroin, but he became a raging alcoholic, and he was drinking bottles and bottles a day. And he almost died a couple of times. So he went back into treatment, and he spent a month just going through the motions. And finally, this excerpt tells what happens. I stumbled through my month in treatment, much as I had done the first time, just ticking off the days, hoping that something would change in me without me having to do much about it. Then one day, as my visit was drawing to an end, a panic hit me, and I realized that in fact nothing had changed in me, and that I was going back out into the world again, completely unprotected. The noise in my head was deafening, and drinking was in my thoughts all the time. It shocked me to realize that here I was in a treatment center, a supposedly safe environment, and I was in serious danger. I was absolutely terrified, in complete despair. At that moment, almost of their own accord, my legs gave way, and I fell to my knees. And in the privacy of my room, I begged for help. I had no notion who I thought I was talking to. I just knew that I had come to the end of my tether. I had nothing left to fight with. Then I remembered what I had heard about surrender, something I thought I could never do. My pride just wouldn't allow it. But I knew that on my own, I wasn't going to make it, so I asked for help. And getting down on my knees, I surrendered. Within a few days, I realized that something had happened for me. An atheist would probably say it was just a change of attitude, and to a certain extent, that's true. But there was much more to it than that. I had found a place to turn to. I'd always known was there, but never really wanted or needed to believe in. From that day until this, I have never failed to pray in the morning on my knees, asking for help. And at night to express gratitude for my life, and most of all for my sobriety. I choose to kneel because I feel I need to humble myself when I pray, and with my ego, this is the most I can do. If you are asking why I do all this, I will tell you, because it works, as simple as that. In all this time that I've been sober, I have never once seriously thought of taking a drink or a drug. I have no problem with religion, and I grew up with a strong curiosity about spiritual matters, but my searching took me away from church and community worship to the internal journey. Before my recovery began, I found my God in music and the arts, with writers like Hermann Hesse and musicians like Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, and Little Walter. In some way, in some form, My God was always there, but now I have learned to talk to him. In the fullness of time, Eric Clapton came to realize something. And he said it was as if a power just drew him to his knees. In the fullness of time, he had to do it within himself. When Jesus called those disciples by the side of the Sea of Galilee, they had to make a decision of whether to follow or not. Jesus had just begun his ministry, and the gospel said, when the time was fulfilled. This isn't calendar or clock time. This is experience time. When something is fulfilled, he began his ministry. And then he went and got followers so that they too could carry on the work of Christ in this world. Another story. Charles Milling, known to some of you, I think, has a cousin by the name of King, and he's a lawyer in Manhattan. And he's married to a wonderful woman named Cara, and they have Sophie and Raina, their two teenage daughters. And a couple of years ago, they decided to go to Haiti to do some work there with the orphans, and they did. And they were so moved and so touched by that experience that Charles told me this week they go down 5 times a year just to play with the orphans. 5 times a year. And this past Christmas, was it, Charles? This past, he's in the back. Just recently, in the past month, I believe, they decided to adopt a little boy by the name of Guy Mary. And I saw this beautiful picture of his 2 teenage daughters with Guy, and they were all just beaming. And they will bring him home now. When the time was fulfilled, they made that move that God was calling them to do and to be. So Eric Clapton did this major shift within himself. And apparently, the Milling family had already done that because now they were ready to take it out to others when the time was fulfilled. And third example I'd like to give you is another tiny story of how we do it with all of creation. I was driving down Congress Avenue, and I was taking a right on Lantana Road day before yesterday in the morning on my way to the bank. And I pulled over to the right-hand lane to make a turn, to make my turn. And as I approached the intersection, I saw something in the middle lane, kind of in the road. And then I noticed it move, and it was about this tall. And it seemed too big for a bird, but it really was a big bird, like a pigeon or something. And it had obviously been hit, but was moving. And so there was a car coming along that went, the tires went, you know, on either side of it, so it didn't get hit. But it obviously blew the air around it. And then I'm feeling guilty. I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? Stop in the middle of traffic? Do I go over and try to get this bird and move it out of the road? And it was very busy, and I didn't want the bird to get hurt. So I'm going through all this, and I'm waiting at the light. So meanwhile, I look in my rearview mirror to see what's happened to this bird, and a man, a gentleman, had gotten out of his car, stopped traffic, and went over and picked up this little bird and took it over to the side of the road. And that was a fullness of time in a minute that happened. In a minute, the fullness of time in Christ happened. And he taught me not to hold back. Not to hold back. In the fullness of time. Our mission statement for this church has to do with fullness. The fullness of Christ's family. It reads, to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and nurture their spiritual development. The fullness of Christ's family. I'd like you to keep in mind that word fullness in light of the 3 stories that I just told you about inner work and then work outside of yourself and then to all of creation. The fullness of time. What are we being called to do here in this place, in this community, and in this unplugged community? Because it's going to be amazing. We're going to have big work to do in this community. We gather here regularly to pray and to worship, to learn and to grow. And then we take it outside these walls. That what church is. That's what real religion is. Some of you may know this. There's a guy by the name of Jefferson Bethke, who, if you go on YouTube these days, in the last 11 days, 15 million people have viewed his poem online. And it's entitled, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. And it's really very powerful. And he rages against probably what Jesus would be applauding him for. It's a really powerful video. The only challenge that I would have for him is that the real definition of religion is religio, ligament, to reconnect us, religament us to who we really are as children of God. So it's not that religion is bad, it's what we sometimes, not always, do with it. Like have wars and kill people and fight and say if you're not in, you fry, and if you're out, you don't. And I mean, just all this crazy stuff. Instead of just going outside these walls and doing the work that we're called to do and be. And that's what he was raging against. And he's right. He's right. And the other thing he said was that it is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, that was a continuation of our story. Of God's story for us, because Christ has been with us since the beginning of creation. That's what it says in the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was then Christ in human form. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. It's not his last name. It's that he's anointed. He's the Messiah. Because we didn't get it. We didn't recognize. We hear this every day when we gather around in our Eucharistic prayers. We tell this same story time and again from all of creation, and the prophets and sages tried to get us to understand that Christ was present. But we turned against that and betrayed it until in the fullness of time, as we say in our Eucharistic prayer, God sent Jesus, God incarnate, God with skin on, to show us the most amazing, ultimate sacrament, the outer display of what is already present within us. Not that we are God, but that we are expressions of that same Christ light. And then we're called to go out and do this work in the world. And when we do, we realize the powerful ripple effect that it will have on everything you do in your families, in your communities, in your homes, in your relationships, in your own inner journeys, and in your own decisions that you have to make and that I have to make. And it's an amazing call. And it's in every minute, in every hour, and in huge projects. And it is an honor to be here with you all, exploring what that is for this place. Amen.